Well, Jane, Heidi, mother and daughter, you've worked together on what, more than 20 books, right?
I think it's 28 books, Heidi, isn't it?
No, she's inflating it just a little bit. I believe it's actually 24.
All right, 24. Well, that's a lot. Let's put it that way. So your newest one that we're going to be talking about today is A Kite for Moon. Tell me about this project. And Mom, you surely, like me, remember that day very well, although I imagine Heidi was a toddler.
No. She says she remembers everything, but you
really?
Know, she was a toddler, and she and her baby brother were sort of wandering around in front of the television set while my husband, their dad, and I watched television watching the moon landing.
So that actually does make me a toddler.
Well, yeah.
Yes.
A toddler with a good memory.
Of course.
So this book really didn't start with the moon landing. It started with the kite.
Yeah.
And the reason it started with the kite was that my father, Heidi's grandfather, was international kite flying champion.
Yeah, who knew? You'll have to tell more about what is that?
He started out as Western Hemisphere kite flying champion. He kind of nominated himself for it and had no, I don't think he ever had anybody who challenged him. But one day in the mail, he got a something from the Maharaja of Bharatpur saying that he was the Eastern Hemisphere kite flying champion, and he challenged my father to a duel.
Wow.
At his palace in Bharatpur, and sent him two tickets.
Oh,
I'd like to break in here for just a second. This is Heidi. I want to make sure that everyone listening to this knows it wasn't a fighting duel. It was a kiting duel.
Right. So, well, I need to know, how does one duel with kites?
Well, there are several ways. You can have razor blades studded in the kites themselves to tear the other kite apart.
Wow.
Or you can have glue and ground glass on the string.
Ooh, wow. It gets a little ugly.
I know. Or you could have fishing hooks dangling from parts of either the kite or the strings.
Oh, my goodness.
But we don't know if this actually happened.
The trip itself, even?
Well, we know, this is Heidi, we know the trip happened because my grandfather, his name was Will Yolen, he was sent tickets, two tickets,
right,
to head over, and then he did not bring my grandmother.
He brought Red Smith, who was the, at that point, very famous sports writer for the Herald Tribune, who then sent back a bunch of columns about how this great kite fight went on and how Will Yolen was the winner.
So I spent all of my life with a grandfather who did tons of kite flying. So kites are something that we've always had around in our family. We called him Poppy. Mm-hmm. My Poppy would fly kites on a deep sea fishing pole. So he had it all rigged up with a belt that he would set it into, and he would do demonstrations everywhere. And he wrote several books on kites and kite flying. Well, he sort of wrote several books on kites and kite flying.
Are they adult books or children's books?
Well, the first kite book that my dad wrote was once he was international kite flying champion, and lots of things were written about him, and he was in Guinness Book of World Records, et cetera. A publishing company asked him, would he write the book for a line of books that they were doing, the Young Sportsman's Guide? They wanted him to do the Young Sportsman's Guide to Kite Flying. And so he signed the contract and said to me, all right, Jane, you've always wanted to be a writer. Write this book for me.
Put it on your shoulders.
Yes, so that's actually my mom's first writing credit, although you will not see her name on the book.
Oh.
Yeah, my father liked to pretend he wrote it himself.
Dad?
I know.
Oh, yeah. He was a press guy. He knew how to tell a good story. He didn't want to write the good story, but he knew how to tell it. And part of the story was that he wrote that book.
So anyway, when I started the book, it was a kite book that happened to have the little boy speaking to the moon.
So it was very much three characters. There was the little boy, the moon, and the kite.
And I wrote it, and I loved it. And my agent loved it, and no one else loved it.
You know, I read about that. Yeah, that it got rejected quite a bit. I mean, here you are with so many wonderful credits to your name as a children's writer. And my goodness, they had the guts to turn you down.
You are only as good as your last manuscript.
That's true. And then Heidi steps in, right?
Yeah, so that manuscript wound up in a drawer. And at one point she said, hey, can you grab that old manuscript out of the drawer and send it on to, we can't remember who, I think a friend who was an agent.
No.
Who wanted to see it. So I pulled it out, but I read it first. Mm-hmm. And when I read it, I thought, well, it's too long. It has too many characters. Remember, I said it had three characters. Mm. And it was very sentimental. And I asked my mom, hey, I don't really love this. Can I take a little editing whack at it?
And I said, sure, because she's really good.
Mm-hmm. So I did. And I whacked away at this manuscript.
Oh, she whacked. She did more than whack. So when she showed it to me, I went, wow, this isn't my manuscript anymore. It's ours.
Is that how you usually work together? Is Heidi something of an editor? Or how do all these 28 books or 24 books together work for you?
This is Heidi. No, that's a very odd way for us to do a book, because it was a full manuscript before it came to me. And that's not how we work together generally. Generally, we really work back and forth and back and forth. So one of us will have an idea, we'll start something, and then we'll pass it back to the other person. And the co-author will write a little more, maybe polish what the first person wrote and send it back. And then the next person will do that same thing. Now, though the idea for this book was squarely with my mom, We can tell you a little secret, that the girl on the last page of this book, we're not going to give away anything about the story, but she needed a story. And so we're thinking really hard about her story, and I'm the one who started that one.
Okay, I've got the book right here, and I'm looking at her. She's cute as anything.
Yes, and she has her own story, which we are working on right now. That's a secret.
A secret on the radio. Okay.
I think she's exaggerating. We're thinking about it. We don't have a story yet.
Oh, we have a story. It's just not done yet
or written yet.
Yeah, yeah. Now I have to almost reread it and see if I can see the seams of mother and daughter writing, or are your styles similar enough that the seams, I didn't notice them.
You will not see any seams anywhere, I promise you. We do work on some books where you will see the seams. We work on some books where there are two very distinct voices or different types of pieces in it. But in this case, we even sometimes argue about who wrote which line or which
word. We can't
remember.
I say, I wrote that line. That's why I really love that line. I wrote it. And she said, no, you didn't. I wrote that line.
And yet you're still friends.
Of course. I'm in her house. Right. My office is in her house. We live next door to each other. Oh. We travel with each other. We are very easy together.
And she also says she's got the world's best commute.
I do.
Now we've established how the kite comes into this. How does this now turn into, because the book is dedicated to the memory of Neil Armstrong and the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. So how does the kite story turn into something about the moon?
Well, the interesting thing is that we didn't even think of that dedication until long after the book had been taken by a publisher.
Oh.
And in fact, they took it and were going to bring it out last year, I think, maybe even the year before, because it was finished, it was done. Matt Phelan, who is the wonderful illustrator, was already well into his work or had already done. And they said, we just found out that the 50th anniversary is in 2019. We think we'll publish it then.
So though the book is certainly not supposed to be Neil Armstrong as a little boy, mm-hmm. we really did want to pay, you know, homage to him as the first person on the moon, because we have to assume that his story was something like the little boy in the story, where he wanted something and he set out to do it, and he worked really hard in order to make his dream into what he actually got to do. So that was sort of the idea behind that dedication.
And you know, I was president at one point of the Science Fiction Writers of America. Mm. I've written science fiction, but most of my science fiction is more like science fantasy. And I never met Neil Armstrong, but I did have dinner with Buzz Aldrin. But it's not dedicated to Buzz Aldrin. It's dedicated to Neil Armstrong because his boot prints were there first.
True. So you mentioned illustrator Matt Phelan, and they are just charming. I love looking at this little boy and the moon. It's very, you want to gaze at it just like you want to gaze at the real moon. How did you connect, or did the publisher do that? How did you connect with the illustrator? How did you work with him?
Well, generally, an author doesn't have a whole lot of input on who the illustrator is going to be. And in this case, we set about to not have any input into who the illustrator would be. But they had some ideas at Zahner Kids about who they wanted to illustrate. And they were busily putting together a list of people they wanted to ask. And we were at a conference, and Matt Phelan, who we knew, who it's a small business, picture books, so we know lots of people, but we didn't know Matt that well, but we were sitting in the audience, and he was giving a speech, and behind him, he had slides of illustrations that he had done, and one of his illustrations popped up onto the screen behind him, and it was of kids in a classroom, and I just knew that was our kid. Mm. I just knew he had to illustrate this book, and I poked my mom in the ribs, and I said, "Kite, kite," and she wasn't very appreciative, I don't think, of me poking her in the ribs in the middle of this great speech.
But she was right. I looked at it, and I went, oh, my gosh, he's perfect. Now we have to figure out how to get them to realize it, too.
So, you know, we threw his name into the hat, and over time they came to realize that we were entirely right. I think that they're very happy at Zahner Kids that we were
right. Oh, I would think so. Yeah.
Yes, but we did talk to him at one of the festivals we were at and mentioned it, and he said, "Yes, I'm fast and available." And those are the two magic words that any illustrator can say that will make a publishing company go, "Oh, oh, yes, fast and available."
So we had no doubt that he was the perfect illustrator for it. Those kids in the classroom just looked at him and said, "Ah, that's our boy." Yeah. And actually, I think the illustration was of a girl, but I just knew just the way he did it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting illustrations the first time you get to see them is always such a gift to a writer because it really brings.
Yeah.
It brings it to a book instead of just a story. And I have to tell you, the first time we saw any of the illustrations for this book, we were sitting in at a conference, a different conference, and Matt was again the speaker, and he put up a picture. It was actually the picture of the little boy flying the kite on the beach. And I was standing, I don't know where you were sitting, but I was standing in the back of the room, because sometimes I just do that during speeches, and I screamed. So it was very exciting to see that first time.
The thing about illustrations is that there are really three things that they do for a book. One, they can just simply decorate it. And there are some books that just need that. And then there are some books the illustrator does exactly what the words tell them to do. But then there are the people who take the words and use it as a kind of balancing platform to paint pictures that lead you on and deepen and widen and broaden the whole perspective of the book. And that's what Matt has done in this, I think.
Yes, agreed. It's a wonderful book. And I've got some grandbabies out there, and they're going to get this.
Yay! That's what we like to hear.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much to both of you. It's been a pleasure. And I'm hoping that pretty soon, maybe not too far in the future, I'm going to see a book on the shelf about that little girl on the last page.
The way publishing goes, live long.
Well, thank you both.
Thank you very much.